Well, praise the Lord, we're looking for something beyond this life. We as God's people have a future that we can look forward to, that we can rejoice in. We don't have to be like the world around us, that when they talk about the future, you know, it looks dark, even in this life. You know, there's many, many that we talk to, those that we meet up with, often when they talk about the future, it's pretty gloomy. It just doesn't look real promising. And outside of the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, they have a reason probably to see the future as being gloomy. But praise God, this evening we have a hope for the future. And it's encouraging for me to get to other places and see other people who are faithfully serving the Lord. We there in West Virginia, you know, we just have a small church. I'm not really used to speaking before a crowd of this size. We just have a small church. And yet I think our hope, our confidence is the same. Our goals are the same. We are looking for that day when we can be together with the Lord forever. And I trust that this evening as we look into the Word, that we can together be encouraged and challenged. I would like to turn first of all to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. There's just a couple verses here. I was reading this chapter here maybe a few weeks ago. And you know how it is, sometimes when you read a familiar passage and yet it stands out to you as something new. Maybe not exactly new, but it just kind of struck me again of what this is really saying here. In chapter 10, verse 3 to 5, just these three verses I think I'm going to read. It says here, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." And I guess the main phrase, anyway, that struck me there as I read that was there where Paul says about bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Isn't that a challenge? Every thought. That goes way beyond, you know, those actions, those deeds that we do, the good deeds and so on that we do. It goes way beyond just attending church. It goes way beyond just the profession of Christianity. But bringing every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's a key issue there, I believe. If we, as God's people, that should be our goal, I believe, in life, is that every thought, even the thoughts that we think, bring those to the obedience of Christ. I was thinking here now, we were talking about something at home the other day. I can't remember even what brought up the subject, and I told one of them, I said, okay, for the next 30 seconds, I don't want you to think about anything. Just don't think about anything. Well, we all know that's impossible. You know, there's constantly thoughts, and you can try as hard as you want to not think about anything, and you're thinking about something. And so, the challenge of bringing every thought into captivity, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And as we see in these verses, Paul is likening our spiritual lives to a battle, to a war that is going on. And we all know that we are in a spiritual battle. I believe we really are. And as we all know at least somewhat about war, Fortunately, we aren't as familiar maybe with as far as experiencing being in the middle of a war, so to speak, as some are. And yet there have been wars throughout the world, throughout history, since the beginning of time, pretty much. There have been wars. And, you know, the Bible prophesies that there will be wars and rumors of wars until the Lord returns. And, you know, as we think back in history, you know, while the weapons have changed, the goal of control through destruction and killing remain the same. And a war isn't considered won until there is a complete domination and control over the other side. And there is a surrendering, a totally giving up of one side. And then the war is considered over. This is a picture that Paul gives here of the spiritual battle that is going on today. And I believe today the church is facing a lot of pressures in the world in which we live today. Maybe like never before. We're in a battle, a spiritual battle. The enemy is working hard to destroy individuals, to destroy God's people, to destroy churches here in the last days. And sadly, he is accomplishing that for many. And the challenge for me, as I was thinking about this again, what do we need to do to make sure that we aren't going to be led away in this battle that we have with the evil one, with Satan, who is trying hard? And I believe as the last days approach, he is putting extra effort into doing all that he can to destroy the church, to tear down God's people through many different ways. And we see here that it talks also about, says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Or in other words, the weapons that we are fighting with, you know, we're not fighting with guns and knives and so on. They're not that kind of weapon. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And how can we pull down these strongholds that it's talking about there in verse 4? We have what we need through the power of God to pull down the strongholds. When we talk about strongholds, what are we talking about? I don't think we'll take the time to turn to it, but we'll just think of in a war, in a battle, when we talk about a stronghold, that's a place that's probably extra secure, extra difficult for the enemy to conquer, to overcome. And we could use the example of Jericho. You know, the children of Israel, when they were pressing forward to go into the land of Canaan, there was an obstacle in the way of the city of Jericho. And before they could advance further, I think Jericho needed to be conquered. And Jericho was a stronghold. I would consider that a real stronghold. According to history, I was reading a little bit about the wall that was around Jericho. And history tells us it was surrounded by two massive stone walls. The outer wall was six feet thick. You know, 6 feet thick out of stone and 20 feet high. And then, according to history, if it's correct, there was a 15-foot walkway between that and the next wall. And the inner wall then was 12 feet thick and 30 feet high. From a military standpoint, it was practically impossible, inconquerable. And, you know, that would be a pretty massive wall, even with, of course, the military equipment that is available today coming in over top or whatever. But even to send cannons through a wall like that, it was a stronghold. And for the children of Israel, you know, to take down a wall like that, to be able to conquer them, was looked next to impossible, and it was. It was a stronghold. But we know the story well of how, through the power of God, the children of Israel, simply by following Him in obedience to His will, they really didn't have to do any physical work to the wall as far as bringing it down. God was able to pull that stronghold. It was like nothing in the sight of God. And God was able to open it up for them to come in. That's what God wants to do for you and I today. Those strongholds that seem unconquerable for us, those things that, you know, maybe have, that Satan has got a hold of and is hindering our growth, is holding us back on, those things that, and that could be, you know, a lot of different things. We have, back home at our, we have regular services at our the regional jail that is in the area. It's about an hour away from where we're at. Covers several counties, so there's quite a few inmates there. And we get there a couple times a month and have some services there. The men are there one evening. The ladies are there for the ladies on a different evening or so. And, you know, as I observe these men who are there, we usually have a pretty good turnout of our services. We maybe have two services in an evening, and with a total of maybe 20 or so men that come out. And those men are many times the ones that come out. They are determined that they're changing their life. You know, they're wanting to turn their life around. They're wanting to follow the Lord. They're going to leave the life that they had behind them. And there's those who have committed their life to the Lord and prayed and asked God's forgiveness. But you know, Satan has some real strongholds in their lives. So many of them. And the sad thing that we observe is that not all of them, but so many of them, after making the commitment or after all that determination that they have while they're locked up there, and I believe they're, at least to a certain extent or a certain point, they're sincere in really wanting to change their life, to turn their life around. And yet so many of them, they get out and it's not too long until we hear they're back in again. Satan has a hold of them that somehow they can't seem to overcome. And yet, is it possible to overcome? We know that it is. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I just want to read a couple verses here at this point. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. No man that warreth, and the point I'd like to pick up here, is in this battle that we're in, if we are going to be overcomers, if we are going to break down those strongholds that Satan is trying hard to destroy us in, it says, no man that it warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. You know, someone who is out there fighting a battle in the physical sense, you know, they have to leave everything else behind. Their focus needs to become 100% on winning that battle. While they're in the midst of that battle, they cannot, if they want to be successful, they can't be doing other things on the side while they're out there fighting the battle, their focus needs to be 100% on winning that battle. And I think that's what it's going to take for us. And so many times, we, as God's people even, it's so easy for us to become somewhat entangled with the things of this life. You know, the things here, yes, we are involved in some things of this life. And yet, our focus, our priority, must remain on the battle that we're, that spiritual battle that we are facing. And our main goal in life needs to be that we are striving with all of our strength, with all of the strength that we find through the power of God, not of our strength, but in God, to win that battle. And then the question came to me as I was thinking about this, especially with the men at the jail. Why is it that there are so many who make the commitment and yet they still lose out? But then not only at those who are in prison or in jail, why are we seeing it so much even in our churches? Those who name the name of Christ, they start out well and yet eventually lose out. This evening I would like to just look at what it takes to be faithful to the end. You know, if those, when they are fighting a war, you know, if they can, one side can fight with all their might, if they quit before that battle is won, they really haven't accomplished anything. And that's really the way it is for us as God's people in the spiritual battle that we are facing. You know, we can be faithful. There are some who have been faithful nearly all their life and still begin to lose out at some point in time. What can we do to be faithful to the end? What I've entitled a message this evening, and I changed my title several times while I was working on this, but in the end I entitled it simply A Solid Foundation, or Building on a Solid Foundation, the importance of how we as God's people need to be anchored in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. We must have our faith anchored secure on Christ and upon His Word now if we want to be faithful all the way to the end. And that's my burden and prayer for the church this evening, is that we are anchored solid enough that when Satan comes in the thick of the battle, we will be able to stand. We have anchored ourselves in Christ Jesus where we will not fail. You know, we are, as I said before, facing increasing pressure, not only from the world, but from within the church, to compromise on the Word of God. It's just there. We see in the world in which we live, you know, it was prophesied that in the last days, knowledge would be increased. And, you know, we are seeing new technology today. It's developing like probably never before in the history of mankind. And that alone is creating a host of challenges for the church, for God's people. How do we respond to all these things that are coming continually, new things that are continually coming into the world, into the church? Are we equipped and prepared to make wise decisions concerning all these things, to handle these things in the right way, the way that God would have us to? There's so many things that as new things that, you know, our parents or grandparents didn't face. They maybe faced other things. There's always been the battle. But yet these new things, I think, are going to be especially strong pull that Satan is going to use to try to pull his people, God's people, away through whatever means that he can. So many things that we don't have a thus saith the Lord in the scripture. And that's why we need to be firmly anchored in the Word of God so we know how to respond to those things. The old church rules just don't cover it all on many of those things. I'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 7 and thinking about this, a familiar passage, but I wanted to read it and thinking about having our anchor secure. Matthew 7, starting at verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. What kind of foundation are we building upon right now in preparation for the battlefield that we are facing? What are we anchoring our life upon? Is it strong enough to withstand the tests, the trials that are going to come and push against our faith? Will our anchors fail? Comes to mind now a job that we are getting ready to do. We do steel work, a beam system that is on a hangar building at the airport, a couple hundred feet long. They built a heavy beam system to hold the doors for those hangars. And they're good heavy beams. But this past winter, when all the snow came, as that snow lay there on the roof and started coming down, started pushing against those beams, there was a tremendous amount of force pushing against the side of those beams. Now, those beams were good and heavy. It wasn't a problem that the beams weren't heavy enough. But where those beams are anchored in, down on the ground, there was just a small concrete pad there. And those things were in there. The anchors were in, I believe, just pretty shallow. And some of them were just sort of half on the concrete pad. And so, of course, when all that pressure came, that whole beam system started to go. And just narrowly missed being, or it could have been a real disaster, as there were a lot of planes, some planes and so on in there. They managed to get something there, saw it happening, were able to get something up against there to support that, to keep it from falling over. But now we need to go in and anchor, take the beams completely down, put a big, solid foundation in with anchors that go down in deep into the concrete with lots of steel and so on, so that if that happens again, it will be able to stand. Well, that's what we need to do in our life, is to have our anchors, make sure that, you know, regardless of where we're at, you know, maybe we're doing all the right things, you know, going to a good church, we're doing a lot of good things, And yet if we're not anchored, if our faith and confidence doesn't go deep into Christ Jesus and His Word, we still are in danger of being swept away, of being pushed and falling away, led away when the pressure comes. When the pressure comes that we may be totally unexpected, something we haven't even faced yet, are we strong enough that we can stand? When those new things come, things that maybe none of us have even heard of yet, may suddenly appear at any time. Things that, how are we going to respond to it? Whether it's new technology or other things. If our anchor is in Christ Jesus, if we are solidly convinced and have our faith in the Word of God and know where we stand in not compromising at all on the Word of God, it doesn't matter, you know, how strong that's going to push against us, how strong the storm is, or what may come, we will be anchored fast in Christ Jesus, and we won't be swayed. And we can have the confidence that we will make it through all the way to the end. I'd like to look just a little bit at, I have a few points here of, we talked about what we need to be anchored on. I would like to look at just a few points of some things that sometimes people anchor their faith upon that won't stand, to help us see or be challenged in the importance of being anchored firmly and secure and deep in Christ Jesus. The first thing that I have that some have their anchor, have their faith anchored in, is in their own strength and determination and their resolve. And you know, that's something I think we see so much at the jail. Those who want to turn their life around, and they are determined. They have the determination that I will not go back into that alcohol or those drugs or whatever else it may be. You know, this lasts but just for a short time. Of our own strength, we cannot do it. And I think that's something that we need, as God's people, we need to be aware of too. It's pretty easy for us. Yes, we have our faith in Christ Jesus, and yet it can still be easy for us to depend too much on our own strength, on our own judgment, our own human reasoning, on what, is this good for me or isn't it, rather than totally relying on Christ Jesus. When we begin to make decisions according to what seems right to us, according to what our determination or our willpower of wanting to stand for the truth, we need to beware. It's just not enough. I'd like to look briefly at Peter. You know, he's a classic example of this, I believe. If we look in Mark chapter 14, I just want to read a few verses here in Mark 14, verse 27. This was there at the Last Supper, and Jesus is speaking here in verse 27. He says, "And Jesus said unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all." Peter had determination. He had confidence. And he had, you know, his goal was right. He was thinking positive. His determination, there was not a thing wrong with that. I will stay with you, even if it costs me my life. He had all that right. And yet, we see what happened so quickly. And not only Peter. You know, it says all the rest. How does it say in 31? It says, likewise also said they all. You know, it wasn't just Peter here. It was the other disciples too. They all said, we will stay with you. Jesus told them, in over in verse 38 of that chapter, watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit is truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. As we go down to verse 50 says, and they all forsook him and fled. What happened to their confidence, their determination when the real test came? We see the continued downfall of Peter, verse 66. Familiar with that. But and as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And anyway, we know that three times he denied. All the determination and resolve in the world is not enough to live a life of victory over the temptations and tests and trials that will come into our lives. We need something more. Our faith needs to go deeper than that. And that's why the challenge is for us now to prepare our life, to make sure that we are anchored deep in the Word of God. Are we totally committed that even in one small area of the Word of God, I will not compromise? I believe that's what we need. We don't know when, you know, maybe sometimes we wonder if persecution would come like some others in the world are facing or have faced in the past, would I be strong enough to stand? You know, some have faced severe trial, and we wonder how could they endure all that they did? I believe they were able to do that because they didn't wait until the trial came and then tried to prepare themselves, but they were anchored deep in the Word of God and in Christ Jesus previous to that, and they were able to stand. And God will do the same thing for you and I. We will be able to stand. But if our faith is weak, if we are caught up in the affairs of this life, our focus is on the things of this life, we become entangled in those things. When the tests come, even though we have a profession of faith in Christ, we may be too weak to stand. Just as a builder who is building a house, you know, a key part of that is the foundation. You know, that's not necessarily the part that's noticed, that people will see. And yet, if it's not there, solid, that house isn't of much value if there is no good foundation under it. And just as it would be futile, probably, for someone who has built a house and hasn't put a good foundation under it, in the middle of a storm, when the wind is blowing and getting ready, nearly ready to take that house, to go in and try to fix that foundation, put something solid under it, that is not the time to do it. It needs to be prepared ahead of time. Of our own strength, we cannot do it. Maybe I'll just quickly look in Acts chapter 4. Just to look briefly at the difference that we see in Peter and the other apostles after Jesus' resurrection, after they received the power of the Holy Spirit, they still had the determination to follow Christ. They still had confidence, and yet there was something different. In Acts chapter 4, maybe I'll skip some of these verses that I had. There they were pulled in and told that they were not allowed to speak anymore in the name of Jesus, and they said that, you know, they would obey God rather than men. Over in chapter 5, verse 27. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, "Did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? Behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Going down to verse 40 of the same chapter. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Did they stop? And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They now had their faith and their anchor deep in Christ Jesus. There was nothing that was going to shake them, because they were eyewitnesses of what had taken place, of Jesus' death and resurrection. And they had experienced the power of the Holy Spirit in their life. That's what you and I need today. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our life if we are going to withstand. And then when those trials come, we can do as Peter and the other apostles, and it didn't faze them. They continued doing what Christ had commanded them to do regardless. So, of our own strength, determination, resolve is not enough of an anchor. The second thing that I have is, and it's closely related maybe, but a legalistic religion. And you know, there's so much of that, it seems like, in the world today. It's simply a legalistic religion. Profess Christianity without a changed life. Maybe even can look good, can sound good, can do good things. But just as we see, as we saw there, where we already read back in Matthew chapter 7, the first part of that, where it says, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Thy name have cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful things. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. You know, that's such a sobering passage there when we think about that. How many are there going to be who profess the name of Christ, and yet he is going to say on that day, I don't know you? And I think that's something that we should take as a challenge to us. Let's not let it become just a legalistic lifestyle that we are living, where we are religion, where we are doing all the right things, where we are, you know, part of a church, you know, following the rules of the church, doing all those things where we appear to be okay. That can apply to all, any and all in a church, to the Sunday school teachers, to the pastors of the church, whoever. It can be done in a way that is simply going through the motions. Let's make sure that our faith is anchored on something that goes deep into that solid anchor of Christ Jesus, where our priorities and our life is totally focused on doing the will of God and living for Him, and the things of this life become of less importance. The third thing that some base their faith upon is simply a false religion. And the challenge for us in this is, let's just make sure that our faith, however strong our faith may be, we do need to make sure that it's based on truth. if it is on any other gospel, if it's on anything other than what's in the Word of God, we can have a faith that is strong, that is fervent, that we can give our life for it. But if it's not based on truth, it still is really, it's not anchored. We aren't anchored in Christ Jesus, the anchor that will see us through. And, of course, we know some of the religions that are out there today, the Islam religion and others, who are so dedicated to their cause, some of them. And yet, if it's not based on truth, it will not withstand the test of time. The fourth one that some base their faith upon is simply popular opinion. And that's a dangerous one. And that's one that we as God's people can need to be careful, because we can get caught up in that. You know, what is generally the accepted, what is accepted in the church today? You know, basing our some of the decisions that we are faced with, the things that come up in our life, well, we have to make a decision. What is the right thing to do here? And looking around and basing it on popular opinion, even among Christian people, basing it on what others think, what others are doing. We could name any of the modern teachings that we see and hear in churches around us that don't really line up with the Scripture. And I'd just like to warn us to be very careful that those things that let's not begin at all to base our decisions, our beliefs, our practices on what is accepted in the general church around us. Or even not necessarily base it upon what even other conservative churches, the stands they take. Yes, we can learn from each other. I don't want to take away that. We can learn from one another and hear why others come to the conclusions they do. But the challenge that I would like to leave with us on this one is that we base it on the Word of God. We must. If we begin to base it on what the popular opinion is, even among other conservative Mennonite churches, it can be a dangerous thing for us. We are in danger of setting ourselves up for something that maybe we could be led away. But rather, we need to be anchored on that rock, Christ Jesus. Have our anchor deep in Christ. How do we build on Christ Jesus? We have His Word. We have His Word, which is unchanging. And that's a real plus for us as God's people. We have something that doesn't change, that we can know, we can have our faith in, we can have the assurance that if we follow God's Word, we are on the right track. It, of course, must begin with a transformed life that only happens when we give our lives in total surrender to Him, 100%. Our faith becomes pretty shallow, if we hold back even one area of our life, if we say, I want to follow Christ completely, and maybe 90% of our life is dedicated to Christ, but there's a 10% that we're holding back on, that we're not willing to surrender, give over to Christ, those are some of those strongholds that can be hard to give up. You know, maybe it's just things like maybe it's moral sins that we can't overcome. Or maybe it's attitudes or bitterness or anger, unforgiveness, or anything like that. Maybe it's just 1% that we're holding back on. We need to give all that up. We need that transformed life where it's a total 100% yielding to Christ. Yielding to Him 100% is costly, can be costly. It may mean confessing those things that are hidden from way back in my past. Giving up relationships that are not building me up. May mean giving up a job or a hobby that isn't helping me grow in my relationship with Christ. But just as God was able to pull down that stronghold of Jericho, those walls were nothing to Him. God can take care of those things in our life. God can do it of ourselves. Maybe it's something we're struggling with that we've tried for years to overcome. Of our own strength, we can't. But with God's help, we can do it through God. My prayer, desire tonight for each of us here is that we will put our anchor in Christ Jesus. As I was thinking about a solid foundation, I looked a little information on a few of the big buildings around the Washington Monument. That monument, it's 555 feet tall. It was built back in, I think it was completed back in 1888. You know, that was a long time ago. That was before they had all the equipment and cranes and stuff like we have now. How they built that is, you know, it's pretty fascinating to me how they did that. But the foundation alone of that weighs, they estimate this at 37,000 tons. And the depth, it goes down 37 feet. And when the wind blows, a 30-mile-an-hour wind, they say it moves at the top an eighth of an inch. You know, that's not very much. It is firm. It is solid. It was built to withstand the storms. And I'm sure since 1888, there have been a lot of storms and probably some really strong wind storms that have passed over Washington. It is still there. It is standing. I read also the Petronas Twin Towers in Malaysia. When they were built, they at one time, I think, were the tallest in the world. I don't believe they are presently. But the foundation of those buildings goes down 394 feet down into the bedrock. And, you know, that's a long ways down. And I understand from the way the ground was there that they needed to go down that far to get down into the bedrock, into the solid rock. But that's what it took. That's what it takes for those buildings to stand. I would just like to challenge us this evening. Let's go down into the bedrock of Christ Jesus. Let's make sure our anchor is firm and secure so that whatever may come of any of these trials, these tests, the new things that we may face in the world today, that we can stand. We can have the confidence that we will stand. As we experience His resurrection power in our lives, we can be as Peter and those other apostles. We can stand firm. We can stand when the storms come. Hebrews 6:19 says, "Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within in the veil." That's what I trust that you and I, where you and I are at this evening, we have that hope as an anchor of the soul that will be sure and steadfast and will see us through all the way to the end, that we can be found faithful on that day when God calls us home. Praise His name. May the Lord bless you.